All right. One of the more famous sayings of Thomas Edison is this: vision without execution is hallucination. We've now spent several months talking about what it looks like to be a church that is living in light of the gospel, and why we should become a church that is worshiping God and growing in Christ and sending disciples. But eventually, you have to put together a strategy to accomplish a vision. You can't just talk about vision and talk about vision and talk about vision and just hope that it naturally just happens. And so this week and the next, we're going to be sharing you just what our next steps are to become a church that is truly living in light of the gospel. How we believe God is going to work through us to achieve and execute this vision. In other words, today we're going to be focusing on the next steps in how we're going to become a church that is growing in Christ, and then next week we'll gather together and we'll talk about how we're going to become a church that is sending disciples and the steps that we're planning to implement beginning in the fall. But before we jump into how we aim to become a church that is growing in Christ, I first want to briefly just remind us of the why. So we spent several weeks in March or February and March talking about why we should be growing in Christ, and I want to just recap those with you. And then share with you God's overarching strategy to grow us as a church in Jesus, and then we'll get into the practical steps. And so just to clarify that, if we want to go on to the next slide here. Oh, sorry, I forgot one. My apologies. So just order, why become a church that is growing in Christ, God's strategy to grow his church in Jesus from a conceptual level, and then First Baptist strategy to grow in Christ from a practical standpoint. And so first, why are we going to become a church that is growing in Christ? Well, like I said, we covered four sermons on this in February and March. The first is to know Christ, to understand that Jesus is our greatest treasure, that there is nothing more valuable that we can have in this life apart from knowing Jesus. And it's worth forsaking everything, of leaving everything else behind in order to know Christ more. And so we should grow in Christ just because we want to know Christ more. Secondly, to know truth, to know God for who he truly is, not just who we think he is or not who society tells us who he is, or even maybe just some false beliefs that we had from church's teaching growing up, that we want to actually know who God truly is and to avoid error, and then to in turn worship him for who he truly is and live for him based on how he wants us to live. Thirdly, it's our new identity, and that before we knew Jesus, we ran from God, but God loved us enough to save us from our sin and our life of darkness. And so now we have a new identity, and God's Spirit is in us. And if we were to listen to God's Spirit all the time, it would be constantly moving us to grow in Christ, to grow in Jesus, to become more like him. That's the aim of the Spirit, is to make us more like Jesus. And then finally, we want to grow in Christ to love others more deeply. That as we grow in Christ and God's love, it works through us more and more to be able to teach others better, to encourage others better, to serve others more humbly and more wisely share the gospel. And so we're able to love others more deeply. And so these are four reasons that we see in Scripture as to why we should grow in Christ. And our prayer is that as we begin to look towards the fall, that we wouldn't say, hey, that seems like a really cool program or a really cool ministry, and so I should grow in Christ because that just really seems awesome. That our motivation would actually be this, that we have a desire to know Christ, to know truth, because it's our new identity, and to love others more deeply. And that would be our motivation to become a church that is growing in Christ. And so now that we've been reminded of the why, let's get a firm grasp on God's strategy to grow us in Christ. So from a conceptual standpoint, how does God grow us to be more like Jesus? What's his strategy to make a church to look more like his son? And to see that answer, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. Once again, that's 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 through 17. If you didn't happen to bring a Bible today, you should find one either in the seat in front of you or a seat close to you. You should have a black Bible there. If you happen to grab the small print version and have never been in 2 Timothy before, I'll give you the cheat. If you just want to turn to page 996, you'll find 2 Timothy 3 there. And if you happen to grab a large print Bible, we'll be in page 1182. And once again, we're going to be covering 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 through 17 today. All right. Paul writes to Timothy, he said, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." So the book of 2 Timothy is a letter from the Apostle Paul to one of the guys that he has discipled and is now serving as a pastor. And he's encouraging Timothy in these verses to continue to grow. "Continue in what you have learned and firmly believed," he says. That even though, as we see in verse 15, that Timothy was beginning to be taught the scriptures from a very young age, Paul says, you need to continue to grow. And even though we see later on that Timothy has been made wise for salvation through Jesus Christ, he already is a follower of Jesus, Paul says, you still need to grow. And even though Timothy is now a pastor, Paul's saying, hey, that doesn't give any excuse. That doesn't mean you've arrived. You still need to grow in Jesus. That wherever we are from a maturity standpoint, we need to continue to grow in Jesus. And skipping over verse 16 for a moment, we see Paul give the reason for Timothy to continue to grow. He says, that you may be complete, equipped for every good work. Another way to translate this phrase, complete, equipped, it's to put in more modern-day language, it's to be super equipped. It's actually the same word twice in different formats. And Paul says that I want you to be super equipped for every good work that God gives you. So everything that the Lord lays before you, be super equipped. And so now going back to verse 16, Paul gives God's strategy for growing us in Jesus and making us super equipped. He says, and I'll read it again in verse 16. He says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." Every single word of our Bibles, which comes from the very mouth of God, is useful to teach others about Jesus, for refuting error and sin, and for helping people understand how to then live for Christ. In summary, God's word is useful and effective to grow us in all the ways that we need to grow in Christ. Or to put it another way, God's word is God's primary method for growing God's church. Not programs, not fun and games, not new curriculum. God's word is God's primary method for growing God's church. A church and its leaders can grow a crowd on a dynamic personality. You see that around that the pastor is kind of a more of a celebrity type. Sorry, you didn't get one of those celebrity pastors, but you see a church can kind of build a crowd around a celebrity pastor, and they can grow a crowd around fancy marketing techniques. They can grow a crowd around having tons of fun things to do or large events. But our goal in becoming a church that is growing in Christ is not to grow a crowd, but rather to grow a church in Jesus. And God grows a church through God's word. And so as our leaders put together the strategy that we're going to begin to share in these next few weeks, one of the main questions that we kept asking is, how can we grow our church through God's word? How can we get our church to engage in God's word and to engage in the many ways that God reveals his word in order for God to do the work that he needs to do to grow us in Jesus? And we see in Scripture that God accomplishes this in several ways. That we see people reading and studying their Bibles. We see people praying through God's word. We see people singing God's word to one another. We see people encouraging and correcting each other according to God's word. And we see people living out God's word as they leave the church, just to name a few. All that to say that if we're going to become a church that is truly growing in Christ, then we need to have a commitment to God's word. Our hope cannot be in programs, our hope cannot be in curriculums, our hope cannot be in events, it cannot be in traditions, it cannot be in what's familiar. God's word is what God uses to grow us in Jesus. And as we begin to look towards the fall and what we have, what we believe God has in store for us, one of the main things we're trying to do is just to get people engaged with God and to get people engaged in God's word. And we'll reveal this more and more over the next several months, but that's our goal. Because we believe God will grow us as we spend time with him and as we spend time in his word. And so now that we understand how God grows his church from a conceptual perspective, let's see how this will begin to play out practically in the fall. In other words, in light of God's strategy to grow his church, what's our strategy? How do we seek to play this out practically and to help our church grow in Christ? Well, in this stage of our church's history, the primary means that we seek to help our church grow in Christ is through our adult SALT groups, or small groups, for those of you who aren't familiar with our SALT groups, combined with our corresponding youth and kids ministries. And if you happen to have a kid or youth or serve in our kids or youth ministry, a little bit of good news for you. We aren't really planning any major changes for the upcoming year. We kind of took a look at kids and youth ministry pretty deeply about 2 years ago. We made some tweaks, and we feel like that's helping our church get a somewhat of a solid foundation. And as we take a look at it, as we've talked with some of you, we realize there's still more work to be done. We recognize that, okay? It's not perfect. It's not where we want it to be. We can still do a better job of discipling our kids. We can still do a better job of discipling our youth. But we want to take the best steps. And so over the next year, we'll be taking more time and evaluating what we're currently doing. Is what we're currently doing, is the curriculum we're offering, is how we're seeking to help train and equip our kids, actually helping them live in light of the gospel, or is there a giant gap or a small gap there that we need to tweak things? And so over the next year, we'll be spending time evaluating everything and then making decisions which we'll seek to implement in 2019. And so a lot of what we're talking about today, and even next week we'll apply a little bit more to our kids and youth with our Sending Disciples plan. But a lot of what we're talking about today is how we're going to better help our adults grow in Christ. And so with that said, as our leaders have spent several months evaluating the various ministries, evaluating our SALT groups especially, and as some of us even have spent over a year, kind of evaluating things, we believe it is both beneficial and wise at this time to move on from our SALT group model. Now, before I share with what we're moving towards, I first just want to celebrate what God has accomplished in our SALT groups. These small groups have been a great success here at First Baptist and have achieved all the original purposes that we designed them to be. And I guess I shouldn't necessarily say we, because I wasn't here when they were designed, but for the people that put those together, they accomplished every single thing that they were designed to do. These groups have helped build community throughout our church as groups have cared and served for one another. It's helped our church grow deeper in their relationship with Jesus. Just even from the time that I got here 3 years ago till now, it's just amazing just talking with some of you and just to see how much God has grown you as you've engaged in these SALT groups. And then they've also begun to help turn our focus more outwards as the various groups have led outreaches to the community. In short, our SALT groups have been a very successful ministry here at First Baptist. To our leaders who have led those, you have done a phenomenal job of leading those groups, of loving and caring for the people in those groups, of teaching them, of coming alongside them, of helping encourage them to serve. You've done a great job, and you've done all we've asked you to do and even more, and we're so thankful for God's work in you. For those who have engaged in our SALT groups, we are so thankful that you have done it, and we have been so blessed as a church by your time that you've invested in those and the many ways that God has grown you. We are a healthier church. We are closer to Jesus as a church because of your engagement and your commitment to those SALT groups, and we thank you for that. And so with that said, you may be wondering, well, why are we changing anything then? Why are we moving away from the SALT group model? Why switch things up? And it's a great question, and one we took serious time to deliberate about, to pray through, to read God's word, to see whether this was truly necessary. But as we took a look at discipleship in the Bible, we began to notice the Bible paints a little bit bigger picture of what our SALT, of discipleship than what our SALT group model is built to offer. Specifically, we were noticing the following in Scripture, that people need different things depending on spiritual maturity level, whereas our SALT groups are typically one-size-fits-all groups. Hebrews 5:12, 6-1, I'll just read it here. And the author of Hebrews writes, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child, but solid food is for the mature. For those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrines of Christ and go on to maturity. So we see from this passage that there are some who need milk, and there are some who need solid food. And those who need milk are the ones who need the elementary doctrines of Christ, and those who need solid food are ready to be grown and trained in righteousness. But what generally happens in our salt groups is that we tend to say, well, they're kind of one size fits all. And so we have different people at different maturity levels in our groups, and our leaders do a phenomenal job of trying to reach the majority of the people in those groups, to try and meet a majority of where those people are, and then to help them take the next step in Jesus. But what we find is that we have some people in those groups who need milk, and they tend to get fed solid food. And then we have some of those people who need a lot of solid food, but then because we're trying to reach everyone as best as we possibly can, we're feeding them milk. And so we're trying to reach a majority of the people in the group and to help a majority of the people take the next step. But what we want to do as a church is to help every single person take the next step, to meet every single person where they're at from a spiritual maturity state and help them take the next step. And so to those who are new believers in Christ and haven't really had anyone sit down with you and say, hey, here's the foundation of what it looks like to follow Jesus, I personally just want to say that I'm sorry that we haven't necessarily done the best job of coming alongside you and teaching you what that looks like, what it, at basis, what it looks like to know and to follow Jesus. And we want to do a better job of that going forward. And for those of you who have a solid foundation, but, you know, we're trying to paint this vision and cast this vision that we want you to go out and to make disciples who make disciples, and you're thinking, I don't know how to do that. That sounds great. I'm bought in. I want to do that, but I don't know how. Then I also want to apologize for you, because we haven't done the best job of pulling you aside and saying, hey, here's the next steps. This is what this looks like for you to be able to go out and be a disciple maker, and we want to do that better this fall. One of the other things we've noticed is that discipleship always has a destination, whereas our salt groups do not. In Matthew 4:19, Jesus invites the disciples to come follow him, and he will make them fishers of men. The destination, then, is to train them to go out and make disciples. And I think if you ask most of the people in our salt groups, well, what's the end goal? What's the end goal of our salt groups? And most of you would probably be like, well, I think it's just we're in our salt group for the next 20 to 30 years. That's the end goal, is we just continue to come worship God on Sunday, and we're a part of our salt group, and then we seek to live for Jesus every other day of the week. Are we just in our salt groups for the next, you know, 10, 15, 20 years? Maybe some of you will, we hope you'll grow and be a salt group leader, or you'll serve in kids or youth ministry, but in general, there's just no destination. There's no end goal. There's not anything that we're trying to equip you towards. And we want to do a better job of helping you identify what the next step is and helping you take it. And thirdly, in the Bible, we see that the church serves and witnesses together, whereas our salt group model frequently sections off adults, youth, and kids. And so while it's important to kind of identify where the person is in their faith and then to help them take the next step, what we see in Scripture, specifically in Acts 2:46, is the church together is going out and reaching the community for Jesus. And the church together is breaking bread and having fellowship with one another. And while we do a great job as a church of eating and fellowshipping together during that 5:15 to 6:15 hour, imagine that, the Baptists actually got eating together and fellowshipping together right. You know, big shock there. But while we got that right, when it comes to serving our community and reaching others for Jesus, typically, especially with our kids and youth, we tend to say, well, you go in your group, and then when you turn 18, 19, then you can come with us, and we can reach our community together. And we want to do a better job of helping our youth and kids engage in mission early on, and to see the partnerships of watching our adults come alongside our kids and our youth and serve and love our community together. We have a great opportunity today to do that. WMF is leading an event where we're inviting people of all ages to go to love the people in the nursing homes. But But that should be a regular thing, not you know, the only times that WMF leads an event for that. And so we encourage you to participate in that today. We encourage you even more so in the fall to engage with us as we do that. And we'll share more about what that'll look like next week. So there's three main reasons why, despite the great success of our cell groups, we believe it is wise to move on to a different model, to try to disciple our members better than what we have, to help every single one of our members take the next step towards becoming a disciple maker that can help others live in line of the gospel. All right, so now that I've teased you enough, here's what we believe God has in store for us this fall in order to help us become a church that is growing in Christ. That instead of several one-size-fits-all groups, we're going to be developing three different kinds of groups in the fall that are aimed specifically at your spiritual maturity level and helping you take the next step to grow in Christ. And to see what I mean, let's start taking a look at the various maturity levels and the corresponding groups. So as you look towards the fall, if you've ever found yourself saying one of the following things, that I trusted in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, now what? Or what does it mean to follow Jesus? Or I want to read the Bible and pray, but I do not know how. Or what is the Trinity? Or why did Jesus have to die on the cross? Or any other theological question. If you find yourself saying those things frequently or asking those questions frequently, then the group that we have for you next fall, if we want to move to the next slide, are what we're calling grow groups. And yeah, move to the next slide here. So these groups are groups of 10 to 20 people who would meet to establish a solid foundation in the Christian faith. Areas covered would include a clear understanding of the gospel, our identity in Christ, spiritual disciplines such as reading the Bible and praying, basic theology, and living on mission. These gatherings would include study, discussion, and caring for one another in prayer. And so you see, kind of that time, what's involved in that time is pretty similar to what our cell groups are, but at the same time, we're making a focus to get people the milk that they need at that stage of maturity, to help them establish that foundation. All right? And if you're here today and you have no idea what it looks like to follow Jesus, or you're still trying to figure this out, at this stage of our church's plan here, this would be the best group for you to plug into, because you're going to learn what it looks like to follow Jesus. You're going to be around people who are learning along with you, and we encourage you to join a grow group in the fall. All right? So that's our grow groups. If you already have a solid foundation, but you find yourself saying one of the following things, that I want to reach my neighbor with the gospel, but I don't know how, or how do I take a new Christian and help them grow into a disciple maker? Or what does it look like to live for and worship Jesus in all that I do? Or what are my spiritual gifts and how can I use them? If that's you, if you're asking those questions, then the group for you in the fall is what we're calling our send groups. And our send groups are groups of 10 to 15 people focused on two things. They're learning how to make disciples and they're receiving training in a specific area of ministry. And so in phase one of these groups, members will receive weekly disciple-making training while also working to reach the community with the gospel in various ways. And so they're not just sitting in a classroom all the time. They're actually going out and aiming to reach people with the good news of the gospel. And then phase two, our send groups will include ministry training in an area fit for our members. And so we believe that God has gifted every single Christian with spiritual gifts, whether that's in the area of worship or teaching or giving or encouraging or serving. And what we want to do is we want to actually help people identify those gifts, but then not just say, hey, your gift is teaching, go teach. Go find somewhere to teach. But actually train the person and equip the person to be able to teach well and then send them out. And then groups will continue to care and pray for one another during these gatherings. And so as you'll see from all this, that piece is huge for us to continue to build relationships within the church in order to continue to build community. And so we want to continue to pray for one another and care for one another during those gatherings. All right? So what happens if you have a solid foundation, you know how to go out and make disciples? What's the next step for you? Well, maybe you're at that step and you're asking the following questions or saying the following things. I'm actively making disciples but feel very alone and tired as I do. Or I'm investing a lot of time in serving others but still need to grow in my faith. Or I know the basics of the Christian faith, but I really want to study my Bible in a deeper way. And if that's you, then the groups that we have for you are what we're calling our life groups. And our life groups are groups of 4 to 10 mature Christians who are actively reaching others for Jesus and then helping them become a disciple maker throughout the week. And so these are the people who are, I'm actually going out. I know how to make disciples. I'm growing in my faith, and I'm going to go help others do that. And so they're leading ministries, they're helping teach others, they're helping reach people in the workplace, they're helping reaching their neighbors, they're leading them to Jesus, and they're saying, hey, I don't just need to lead you to Jesus and then bring you back to church, I can actually help you grow into a mature disciple where you are. And so they're doing these things throughout the week, but then they're regularly gathering to continue to encourage each other, support one another, and continue to grow in Christ together through various studies. And so in that moment, we still see the need for people to be in community with one another. That the Christian ministry, living for Jesus, following Jesus, and helping make disciples is hard work at times. And we still need people to come alongside us, to encourage us, to pray for us, to continue to help us to grow deeper in Jesus. And so we want to have groups available for our church to continue to grow in Jesus and to encourage each other and support us as we do ministry. And so hopefully you see the progression here, that you establish a solid Christian foundation in a grow group, and then you move on to a send group where you learn how to make disciples and are trained for ministry, and then you move on to a life group where you receive support and encouragement as you go make disciples of those who don't know Jesus. That wherever you are in your relationship with Christ, we want to help you take that next step towards becoming a disciple and go make disciples. And we want to do that in an intentional way, to surround you with other people who are in that same phase, who can help you take that next step. Ultimately, we want to help you grow into someone who is living in light of the gospel. And once again, as we seek to become a church that is growing in Christ, our ultimate hope in this, as leaders, and I can't stress this enough, is not our grow groups, it's not our send groups, it's not our life groups. Our ultimate hope is that in these groups, we're going to get you to engage with God, and you're going to spend time in God's word, and God's word is going to do the work to change you and to make you more like Jesus. That is ultimately our hope. That is ultimately our goal. That is what we want for you guys, is to spend more time with God, to spend more time in God's word, and to let his word change you. And that's where we're putting all of our hope, is that God is going to do what he says he's going to do in his word. And so First Baptist, as I begin to look towards the fall, I can't tell you how stinking excited I am for what God is going to do. Because I can't wait to see how God is going to work in us to engage with him, to be in a relationship with him, to pursue him. And I can't wait to see how much he's going to grow us as a church. And I can't wait to see the joy that all of us are going to discover as we spend more time with this Jesus who is the greatest treasure that we have. And I can't wait to see all of you begin to take that next step and to one day be the person that God has called you to be a disciple maker who can go out and to make disciples. And we want to equip you the best way we can, and we believe that this is going to be the start of us doing that. To be the start of us knowing Christ more and knowing truth and living out our identity and growing in our love for others so that we can become a church that is growing in Christ and living in light of the gospel. Let's pray. God, first and foremost, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for your word in that it changes us and it makes us more like Jesus. It helps us to leave our former way behind and become more like the God that we treasure. And so, Father, we pray that even this summer, that you would continue to grow us in Jesus, that it wouldn't be a matter of us waiting till the fall, but that you would even begin this work this summer. And Father, we also just want to take time just to thank you just for all of the fruit that you bore through our salt group ministry. And Father, we'll continue as these salt groups meet on occasion throughout the summer. We thank you for the ways that you've grown our church closer together, that you have helped our church care for each other. We thank you for the ways that you have grown our church deeper in our love for Jesus and made us more like him. And we thank you for the ways that you have encouraged our church and equipped our church to go out. Father, we thank you for our leaders. We thank you for all the members who have participated in our salt groups. And Father, help us just to finish those well. But Father, I pray also that you would just help us to see that there is more, that we can do this better as a church, that we can help one another grow in Christ better than what we have. And Father, that that these grow groups and send groups and life groups will help us better to do it. That Father, that you would work in our hearts to buy in and engage in these and to participate. And ultimately, as we do, that you would just grow us in Jesus. Father, we look forward with eager anticipation as to the work that you're going to do in and through us and in and through our church as you grow us in Jesus, as you make us people who can live in light of the gospel and help others to live in light of the gospel. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.